but there is big news up north as well. We will be having a chat to the boss of Keurig very, very soon after the explosive comments from Rob Heathcote, but it's great to have a chat to Neville Bell, who is the chairman of the Brisbane Racing Club up there. It's the spring, or it's their spring carnival, their winter carnival up there. It's looking a little bit different this year, but gee, we've still got some good racing, and I'm looking forward to the JJ Atkins and Stradbroke. Unfortunately, we won't be there this year, but it's still going to be some great racing. Neville Bell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Michael, and certainly it brings back memories from last year when you're up here enjoying the beautiful Queensland winter sunshine, and we'll miss you this year.
It was one of the highlights last year because it is such a time-honoured race day, and it's all looking different this year. We're talking about what the spring carnival may look like. How, from your perspective, is the winter carnival looking? Are you happy with the programming, the way it's landed?
Look, to be fair, when the announcement was made as a club, we were pretty shattered by the announcement that the carnival was basically off. Racing Queensland worked with us, and we managed to put together a revised but much reduced program. Look, we were able to salvage the signature race day, being Stradbroke Day and the JJ Atkins. So, you know, only two Group 1 races for this season. And look, it just looked like being such a great season. For the first time, we went from... You know, $1 million race to $5 million races, or some new races. So, look, it was, and everyone's gone through something similar. I get that, but for us, it was a real, it was, you know, we were very dejected over it. But anyway, we dusted ourselves off, and we got some great racing last week and this week and next week.
It's hard to be critical of any management in racing, because we are the only sport that's continued to race through this COVID period. But do you think Racing Queensland did jump a little too early with wanting to cancel the carnival and the changes that they made?
Look, I think in hindsight, you know, looking at it today, you would say yes. When the decision was made, it was one of those hard decisions that had to be made. We would have liked to have seen the decision, you know, paused until after the Sydney Carnival, after Easter. But look, you know, while it's easy to be critical, it's in the circumstances at that moment in time, I guess they had to make a decision and live by that decision. The short answer is yes, we think they may have gone off too early, but we're not critical of that. I mean, it's easy for us to say that now.
There's been lots of debate from the start of the year about what's happening with the media rights in Queensland. I know Racing.com were courting yourself and Racing Queensland very, very hard, and also Sky. And I believe you've made a decision from the BRC's point of view as to what you'll be doing in the future in regards to your coverage.
Yes, but the Brisbane Racing Club rights are separate from the rest of Queensland rights. And we were fortunate that we were, as you say, courted by two very strong proponents to broadcast our vision, and it was, you know, it's not an easy situation. It's very complex. There's a lot of aspects that play into this, but you're correct that all we can say at the moment is that we are committed to Sky Racing.
So Brisbane's feature races, Eagle Farm and Duma, will be shown on Sky Racing moving forward. You've turned down the offer from Racing.com. Did it come down to a dollars and cents, or what was the final reason for remaining with Sky?
Look, I'd love to go into the nitty-gritties, and I'm sure you as a journalist would love to hear them, but I am bound by some commercial and confidence restrictions there, Michael. But look, they were both good offers. But at the end of the day, you have to settle on one horse, so to speak, and that's where we've have landed. I've got some, you know, great friends in Victoria, as you know, and with the Racing.com team, very professional team, and they put up a great offer as well. But at the end, we had to settle on. Settle with Sky, and we're happy to do that.
Will there be changes in the way Queensland racing is covered in this next agreement? Are you able to give any details on that?
Look, we've got enhanced coverage, and that's been noticed in the last 3 weeks with better showcasing opportunities that have been offered to us that we've taken up. Some more shows during the week. Sky are building or have built a new studio up here in Brisbane, so we expect to have more engagement with Sky on the show and more showcasing opportunities. Yeah, so that was certainly a big part of the negotiations with both parties.
And are you aware of what the situation is regarding the remainder of Queensland's rights? Are Racing.com still pursuing that, or are they likely to end up on Sky as well?
Look, you'd have to ask Racing Queensland. Brendan Parnell will be the best one to discuss with that. I think there's ongoing negotiations with both parties there.
Okay. Last one before I let you go, Nev. I've got Ross Barnett coming up, the Queensland Racing Integrity Commissioner. We saw some explosive comments from Rob Heathcote about the cleanliness of racing in Queensland. He doesn't believe it's a level playing field. He believes that Keurig is not doing enough testing. As one of the most important people in Queensland racing, the chairman of the BRC, how do you see racing in Queensland? Do you believe it is clean, or is there more that needs to be done on the integrity front?
Look, it's a difficult question. I guess Ross Barnett will be able to give us some more precise information on that. But look, I think this is a factor. There's a number of factors that play into this. What has been absolutely frustrating for Queensland stakeholders is the time that it takes for individual cases to be processed. You know, and we're talking, like, you know, in some cases 2 and 3 years. It doesn't happen in Sydney and Melbourne. And this is not a fault of Ross Barnett. It's a fault of the process that's been set up here. And while we all thought that there was some shortcomings in it some 5 years ago when it came in, you know, it's proved to be that it just can't deliver the sort of integrity or confidence in the integrity that it was originally meant to. So I think it's time for that to be reviewed. I listened to what the trainers up here have said, and I think they've probably got a good point if they can say that there has been a decrease in certain testing regimes. Well, that is a source of a real source of concern for all stakeholders. But I think Ross Barnett, I know well, will come on and tell you exactly what that situation is. Only he knows how the tests are done and when they're done. It would be good to, I think, benchmark what we're doing here up here in Brisbane against the Sydney and Melbourne testing regimes and see if there's some room for improvement, not only in testing but the process after participants are found to have crossed the line.
Neville, always great to chat. Appreciate your time this morning, and it may be a revised and reduced winter carnival, but we're all looking forward, especially to the JJ Atkins and also the Stradbroke. So best of luck with it.
Thanks very much, Michael, and thanks for calling.